the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Now, apart from identifying people by the jobs they do, it can be tempting to rely on labels to neatly classify their lives. In fact, many of us have embraced self-imposed labels to define who we are. It just takes a quick scroll through social media bios to reveal how we use terms like farmer, musician, mental health advocate, fashion enthusiast, or coffee lover to express ourselves and connect with others. The labels that shape our lives are explored in a new book, Some of Our Parts, Why We Are More Than the Labels We Live By. And its author, Laura Kennedy, joins me now. Laura, you're very welcome to the programme. Speaking of labels, you hold a doctorate in the philosophy of psychology, so you're very well qualified to write about this. But labels tend to be a very handy shortcut for instantly understanding the world around us and other people around us.
Yeah, I think labels are ultimately essential. We really do need them. They serve a very important social purpose. But as you referenced there, in terms of kind of social media bios and the digitized landscape in which we live now, I think there is a risk of limiting ourselves to labels and also limiting other people. You know, you kind of take a glance through, for example, Facebook comments under any article written anywhere, and you'll have a real sense of people pigeonholing each other, often using these generational labels or gender-based labels or, you know, even racialized and ethnic labels. So while labels are really important to help us self-identify and to convey who we are in life, in the workplace, in school, everywhere else, they carry some inherent risks about flattening and limiting ourselves too.
Isn't social media and the rise of social media playing a big part in this idea of self-labeling? Because let's say in the past, even in families among your siblings, you know, one member of the family, one brother, one sister, was known as the sporty one or the funny one or the this one or that. So even among people who know each other very well, labels were kind of put on each other as just almost like a way of understanding or summarizing someone. But with social media, the pressure is on to self-identify your own label. I'm a coffee lover, I'm a foodie, I'm whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think we do have those sort of community and family labels that serve interesting purposes. And also, you know, they can limit us too. We all also, I think, have the idiot in the family who may at some point have been, you know, the difficult teenager or
the black sheep.
Yes, you know, that one cousin is always starting businesses and maybe they're not as well thought out as they should be. But we can get sort of trapped inside those labels and limited. And so that even, especially in family and kind of community, when you grow up and you change and you become someone different, when you go home, you're still, you know, you're still the idiot or the funny one or the sporty one or whatever. And that can be kind of limiting. In the context of social media, I think we are under pressure to sort of convey who we are to other people in these limited ways, in lists of words, adjectives and nouns. And there is an extent as well to which on social media, everyone becomes a brand or a product that they're trying to sell or communicate. And obviously, lots of people do that professionally in terms of influencing and stuff. But we all sort of do it to an extent. We're selling who we are. And in order to do that, we kind of condense who we are to words that never fully capture us in our kind of complexity. And it's just important to remember that, of course, there's always more to them than that.
At what point does the label become restrictive, do you think, of yourself?
I think ultimately it's an internal sort of situation report that we all have to do with ourselves, because we all have, you know, that, say, very irritating activist friend who divest themselves of a personality and it becomes their political ideology, or, you know, even someone who's just a bit too into a hobby and it's sort of, it becomes their entire personality. So I think ultimately with a label, when you're wearing it lightly and it's useful to use a tool to communicate yourself, to understand yourself, to contextualize your experience, it's something that will sort of make you more able to act in the world and less emotionally fragile. Whereas when you are overconnected to a label, that can lend itself a kind of a defensive brittleness, you know, as if kind of questions or criticisms or kind of social conversation around that label is registered as a threat to your actual personality, to your value as a human being. But also, if a label is disempowering, if it makes you less confident, less capable, and gives you less of a sense of your own value, then it's a problem label.
And in a workplace situation, labels can be a complete minefield, can't they?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's particularly challenging because we do sort of live in a labels hierarchy. So there are certain labels that are valued more highly than others. You know, for example, I think maybe gender-based equality within the workplace is a conversation that thankfully we're having in a really active way. And it's quite important and it's acknowledged in general in sort of media conversation and political circles as something that we should care about. But there are other labels that have less prioritized status. So one that I think is incredibly important and really the primary determining factor of outcomes for, say, you know, disadvantaged young people are socioeconomic and class labels. And if we look around an office environment, sometimes we can see that certain labels are present and congratulate ourselves on the progress that represents without necessarily noticing that all of these diverse people with different labels possibly often come from the same socioeconomic background. And so the level of diversity that we think we have by virtue of having all those labels isn't necessarily going all the way down, as it were. And I think if we can kind of hold ourselves to account, that makes us better colleagues, better friends, better kind of members of the community. And hopefully it makes us better individuals too.
Do you feel that there's potential for something positive to come from our use of labels in a different way?
I think so. It's about careful use. You know, it can be really invigorating and helpful for people to find a word that articulates their particular experience and maybe the challenges that they have encountered in their lives. But I think the purpose of the book really was to look at those labels that carry with them a tempting impulse to maybe reevaluate the entire story of our lives in relation to them and build a whole new idea of who we are. To resist that and to consider one more label as precisely that, just one more way of considering ourselves, not the ultimate and only way.
Well, it's a fascinating topic and a fascinating book. Thanks for helping us to navigate the minefield of labels there. Laura Kennedy, Some of Our Parts, Why We're More Than the Labels We Live By is the book, and it's published by Eru. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Thank you.